Hello, and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down and ask someone, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is my friend, Katie Brown. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, good after our technical difficulties there, but I'm ready to go now.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. So why don't we just jump right into it, as I usually do, because it's easy and fun. What's your favorite album, Katie Brown?
Well, after much deliberation and mind-changing, I have to go with Southeastern by Jason Isbell.
And can you tell us a little bit about Jason Isbell?
Sure. So I guess it's a good starting point. I guess I was first introduced to him, not like personally, but musically, when he was in the Drive-By Truckers back in, like, I guess 2006-ish. Drive-By Truckers are, I guess you could say, a southern rock band, but they're not, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're a little bit edgier than that, but he was one of the kind of three songwriters in that group. He left and started his own solo thing. I guess 2007-ish, and just been following his tunes ever since.
I see. Yeah, I remember when you were still living here on the East Coast, you had mentioned the Drive-By Truckers and Jason a few times, but I'd never really listened to any of it.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, but
no time like the present. No.
Exactly. Yeah, but I told you I gave this album a listen to yesterday, and I was like, wow, this is really good. Like, I just having a very stressful day at work, so it was very calming.
Definitely. When I was thinking about what album I wanted to do, I feel like a lot of people, in listening to some of these other podcasts, that they start off by mentioning what their honorable mentions would be, and that the albums that didn't quite make the cut. And so I was like, man, it's going to be weird, like, not doing something that's more, I don't know, punk rock or I don't know, something that's more influenced by that, but I don't know, I just kind of keep coming back to this one. It was only released last year, I guess last June, and it's just something that, probably the only new record I've really listened to this entire past year, and I don't know, just thinking about some of the other guests you've had on the show, the first time I ever saw Jason play live was with Jonah Bayer. He took me to see him play at Bowery Ballroom.
Nice.
And actually introduced me to him, and I was just totally froze up and was like, hi, it's really nice to meet you. Starstruck, I don't know, it's weird. And then I know that Diaz, he really likes this album. I think it was on his, like, best of 2013 list, or maybe it was the list. So it's still relevant in our circles.
Huh. So why is this your favorite album?
I think it's something that, and I guess only time will tell, but something that I'll just keep coming back to forever. It's not something that I will ever brush off as, oh, that was a guilty pleasure, or, oh yeah, I really like that album, you know, that one summer or something like that. It has a lot of really great messages, and there's nothing about it that's gimmicky. It's pretty timeless, I think. So,
Now, what, like, would you say, like, the relatability and, like, your feelings towards it had to do with your, like, already standing, like, how you already felt about him as a musician, or was it something like maybe like things that were going on in life that were related to the album? You know, like, you know how sometimes it's like, this album came along at the right time, you know, it helped me through this, or it just reminded me of this, or was it just, I love this dude's music, and this is, like, one of his albums that totally hit me just right?
Well, okay, so it's interesting you bring that up, because the past couple albums that he released, there's, I don't know, probably three or four songs on each one that I love, and they're a lot more, I guess, guitar-driven, or upbeat. And the first time that I listened to this album, there was some, I don't know, website that had, you know, the live album stream like the week before it came out, and I started listening to it and I was like, oh, because a couple of the first songs are all kind of mid-tempo. I'm like, man, it's all going to be slow songs. And that the album really is a reflection on his newfound sobriety. And I'm like, man, not that I, you know, wish alcoholism or anything like that on anybody, but it's just like, man, it's not going to be any fun. This it's going to totally take the fun out of like the songs and things like that. And now I feel really stupid for ever feeling that way about it initially. I'm like, how did I not just love this from the very first note, you know? I don't know. It's so funny. Like, it's weird because the first time that I saw him play, like probably, you know, 4 or 5, gosh, I don't know how many years ago at this point, but I'm sure that he was like, he was thrown aback pretty good during the set. And, I don't know if that was part of the fun of it, but like, I don't know. And then watching him play now, he had like gone through a pretty crazy divorce. He was married to, the woman who was playing bass for the Drive-By Truckers. And this was years ago, but like went through a crazy divorce and ended up, I don't know, some of his friends like basically forced him into rehab in 2012. His now wife was one of those people, and Ryan Adams, who everyone knows, and he runs in a pretty good circle there. But I know it's so different seeing him play now. The last few times I've seen him, his wife has been on tour with him, and they're just on stage playing some of these songs, and he's so happy. Like, I don't remember ever noticing him like smile while he was on stage, and now he's just grinning the entire time. And I don't know, I think there's something really to it where someone's really enjoying themselves, and I think it comes through in the songs a lot too.
And yeah. I was thinking when I was listening to this, it's kind of like a weird bridge. Like, I've known you for years, and I, you know, like a lot of stuff you mainly listen to, I feel like his music is kind of like a bridge between, you know, like some of the stuff you get from like the pop punk or just the straight up punk stuff, and then stuff like what's that guy's name that you really like, what's his name, why can't I remember his name? Oh, the guy who gave you a noogie.
Blake Shelton. I wasn't sure if you were going like for the straight mainstream country thing, or if there was that's the only Blake, really. Yeah, Blake Shelton.
That guy. How did I forget? He's like on TV everywhere and I could not remember his name.
You're probably doing that finger point thing that he does on The Voice.
I do not.
Okay, well, I was imagining maybe you were doing that, you know, on the other end here, and I just couldn't see it. So. But yeah, no, I can totally see that. It's weird. I was thinking about how I kind of ultimately got into the Drive-By Truckers and then Jason Isbell. And I feel like the connection is kind of through, I have a lot of friends that love like punk rock and hardcore music, and they also really love Lucero.
Oh, Lucero's so good.
Yeah. And so like they have that kind of gritty but still like country sound. I think they actually played Warped Tour like 3 years ago or something kind of ridiculous like that. But I want to say like through Lucero and like listening to some like Ryan Adams type stuff that, you know, kind of it all kind of one thing leads to another, and then you're here. but it also does have some more like country southern things, like there's a fiddle in some of the songs and things like that, and that definitely connects to my roots growing up in Frederick, Maryland, and listening to country radio station. Actually, one of the albums that I was considering was Trisha Yearwood album from when I was in first grade. I would always listen to it on tape cassette with my dad driving to softball practice, and there was one song called She's in Love with the Boy, and the main character in the song is named Katie, and so great song, especially when you're seven. So but ultimately I'm like, what am I going to talk about there? I just told you why that would be my favorite album, and that a podcast does not make. So
sometimes it's a really silly reason, you know, like, I met my wife listening to this album or something, you know. I don't know, things you know, things are crazy.
Yeah,
everything happens for a reason, whether it be a reason that you can tell a good story about or something you're just like, you shrug your shoulder and like, hey, you know, tuna fish.
Yeah.
tuna fish. So why does this beat out all the, like, I'm, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, something so recent can just, like, leapfrog everything else, you know?
Yeah. I guess it's just the, kind of the more I learn about, like, the roots of the music, that I guess just, like, timeless and classic and like stick with me forever kind of thing. Like the so Jason Isbell is originally from like North Alabama, and there's a really big music scene in this really small place called Muscle Shoals, and the history is amazing. It's where Aretha Franklin recorded a lot of things, Otis Redding, and there were, I guess it at the time there was one, and then there became a second like competing music studio, and it was all these white guys who were the backing band for all of these huge soul singers, and they were recording things in the 60s and the 70s. There's, you know, at the time of segregation, and these people are going to North Alabama to record stuff, and like from there it evolved to, I don't know, like the Rolling Stones recorded in Muscle Shoals, and the Allman Brothers, and Leonard Skinner, and stuff like that. And so that was a really big influence for a lot of people in that area. And that's the, I don't know, the group of people that Jason Isbell comes from, and that it's not coming from listening to Operation Ivy and No Doubt, and I don't know, kind of where I cut my teeth on really loving music. And so I can appreciate the, I don't know, like the history that's there with it. And I think it's a lot of it's in the storytelling. Like he's a really great lyricist. Like the music itself is really good too. You could, you know, not have vocals and I would still like it, but the such a great lyricist, and I don't know, just makes you think it, I don't know, all the things are very like thought provoking, and it's not him always speaking directly about himself, but he does tell his own personal story, and it's kind of more cloaked in something else. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining this.
No, you're good.
But like there's one song on the album called Live Oak. And it starts out, the lyrics start, there's a man who walks beside me, it is who I used to be, and I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. And so you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, met your wife when you were still drinking pretty heavily, and now that you've, you know, gone through rehab and are sober, is she still going to like you as much as she liked that person before? Mm-hmm. And but the entire song, like as it goes on, it's like about some like pre-Civil War thing, and I think a murder happens. I don't know, but the root of it is that first like stanza, and I think he's kind of also speaking to his fans, like to me, and what I had to say about, oh God, he's not drinking anymore. The songs aren't going to be any fun, and it's sort of, you know, hey, are you gonna like. Who I've become as much as who you liked before,
yeah,
kind of thing. And I don't know, the whole album is just him kind of, I think, telling the story of becoming sober. And, you know, it's about, you know, choices you've made, whether they're good or bad, right or wrong, like the consequences of those choices. And I guess that's something that stands out to me more now at 30 years old versus listening to Real Big Fish, like Turn the Radio Off, and just things that are more like silly and don't necessarily have that meat to them.
Yeah.
I can feast on this album for years to come, is what I'm trying to say.
Now, which leads to another question. Do you think this album would have had the same effect on you if you had listened to it, like come across it, like say, 10 years earlier in your life?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah. I
thought this was so boring.
Isn't it weird, like, how that works?
Like, I can't skank to this. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. I guess it's just the themes of it are things I think about too. Like, have I made the right choices in, I don't know, like career path or where I'm living or in relationships and things like that. So
I understand all of that. That is a common thing for me. And it is interesting, like, you go back to stuff like certain songs or just like even albums on a whole. It's when you're younger, of course, you know, like listening to Blink-182 or, you know, like No Doubt, you know, a lot of songs in their root are about like alienation or, you know, breakups or, you know, just other stupid, silly, you know, jokey stuff. And you can kind of, you can just enjoy it. But then there's certain stuff that will invoke like maybe sad feelings, you know, or just memories you don't want to deal with. So you kind of tend to avoid that when you're younger.
Definitely.
But it's
still try to avoid that some now.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I mean, no, definitely. But I mean, like, you're more open to like actually dealing, like processing that type of music as you're older, I guess, because you've gone through more in life. I don't know what the real key is there, you know, but there's something that happens as you get older where you're like, okay, I can deal with this, you know. I can pay attention and I can see where this is coming from. It's like you become almost more empathetic to things. I don't know. I'm talking out my ass here, you know?
No. It makes sense. And so there's a... leads me to another song on the album. It's called Traveling Alone. And it's just... it's about what it says. But he's, you know, been out on the road for so long. And he, you know, I think we can, you know, a lot of our friends that are on tour, we know how awesome it is to go and see the entire world.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have that luxury in their jobs, you know, their 9 to 5 or whatever it may be, sitting at a desk. But that is that, you know, is it worth it if you don't have anybody to experience it with or share it with? And I don't know. That song talks about that. It says, I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? And so, well, then now his wife does tour with him a fair amount, but I don't know. It's just like, yeah, I feel like I've, I don't know, lived in a bunch of cool places and had cool jobs and loved my friends, but I don't know. It would be nice to like have somebody to share all that with for forever.
That's true. I remember the first time I went on tour with the Leaves, I was in a weird place with like this girl I was dating, who you knew her, but
okay.
You know, we dated for years and then we were like in a weird limbo state, you know, and for some reason being on the road made me think about it more. And I was like, why am I, you know, like, is it me refusing to grow up to let this progress to the next, you know, step, you know, like I'd be happy. And for some reason, I just thought about that a lot, like in the van, like driving from state to state. And I was like, wow, this is weird. It's interesting. There is one song I'm trying to remember, like, words from it. Because since I was listening to it at work, I've been, like, super slammed,
gotcha,
like, taking care of stuff, so I didn't really get to keep track of track names or anything like that.
If we're talking lyrics, there's one song on this album where he rhymes the word 16 with benzodiazepine.
Wow.
Which is a word I've never heard in a song before. It's pretty crazy. That's probably not the one you're thinking of.
That's
but.
Pretty awesome. It had to deal with like a relationship. And that's gonna like, oh man, it's something like being gone or something. Of course I can't figure it out. I just noticed that, like, as I was listening, I was like, whoa, that song is really good, you know, like, or, oh, shit, that's kind of sad, you know?
It actually could have been that one, Different Days. there's a bunch of them that are about relationship. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably, like, listen to it again and pay attention to the songs, and, you know, I'll like, text him, like, this is the song I was talking about. This song's fucking sad.
Oh. Well, when you say about this song's fucking sad, the real track would be Elephant. I feel like that, I've seen him play it a couple of times now, and the last few times, I definitely, like, cried, you know, just at the venue, watching him play, like, crying.
Wow.
Song. So it's kind of another thing where it's not specifically about him, but it's, I don't know, he's such a great storyteller, and so it's about this guy who's, you could say, is like kind of a barfly, but one of his best friends is basically dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And all of the song talks about like pretty much just spending time with her and not letting her cancer and her certain death basically be the focus of everything, like treating her like in the same way that they always would. There's one part where he says, what does he say? I'd sing her classic country songs and she'd get high and sing along. She don't have much voice to sing with now.
Oh.
That's part of it, and then, but at the same time, there's like a part that earlier in the song that would like make you laugh. Kind of the contrast of it. He says that she basically tells the main character in the song that he's going to take her home, and he knew that like it wasn't. You know, maybe in the good old days, you know, a guy taking a girl home and he knew that he'd like carry her up to bed and leave her there kind of thing. And but then the lyric says, if I'd fucked her before she got sick, I'd never hear the end of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know, just it kind of makes you laugh in such a sad song, just like a stark contrast with the lyrics. You don't necessarily see that one coming, but yeah, it's definitely, if you want a sad one, that'd be my go-to.
Now, are there like times like with the emotional strings that this album can pull? Are there times where you just can't like really deal with the album? You know, like I can't listen to this album right now. You know, like it's gonna hit me in a way I can't do it.
Maybe I'm just like a glutton for punishment right now or something, because I think. If I was going to put this on, I probably maybe the only song that I would skip occasionally would be Elephant. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's such a great song, but just sort of like, oh, okay, that's a little heavier than I want to deal with right now. But I don't know. I just love all the songs so much, and it just makes me, I don't know, think about life, and not that, I don't know, that I'm like drinking a lot or anything like that, but I'm okay with listening to an album about like someone's newfound sobriety and the kind of the effect that it's had. It's not so much, I don't know, I guess the album's not so much about like hitting rock bottom, but it's like about what happens after you do.
Mm-hmm.
And not like feeling sorry for myself or anything, but I'm like, all right, so my life's not that bad. anything that I'm like bitching about or complaining about, a lot of people have it way worse than I do. So I should just suck it up and like move on with things. And it kind of makes me feel that way too.
Yeah. I know that all too well. It's like, the past 2 weeks I've just been freaking out about moving into this new apartment and everything. And like Tyler's like, it's not that bad, dude. Just calm down, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am gonna be okay. Like, we've been living here for, I think, 5 days. No, 4 days now. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm feeling calm again. I can work this out, you know? I can, you know. It's time to take control of shit.
Do you have room to hang up all your hockey jerseys?
They are currently hanging in a closet. They need to be... I need to frame some that signed Lidstrom jersey, and I can send you that Blue Jackets signed Nash jersey if you'd like it.
No!
The only thing that's currently hanging up in my room is a Nintendo Power Glove. And it's,
okay.
It's hanging in a little fireplace mantle. And
that's
it looks awesome. Next time you go on Instagram, just go look on my page. It's there.
I will definitely check that out. I don't know how I missed that today.
Oh, it's so cool. And for any of those listening, it's Rock Paper Adam on Instagram. It's pretty awesome looking. I call it the power place. Because it's, you know, whatever. I'm a nerd.
Is that the name for, like, the apartment? If we were to, like, check in on Foursquare? I guess it's Swarm now.
Before we actually set up this, I don't even know what Swarm is.
Oh.
before we set up this call, I was just thinking too. I was like, I need to talk to Tyler about what the hell we're gonna name this apartment.
Yeah. So the power place is speaking more directly of your room.
No, not even just my room. More specifically just the fireplace.
The fireplace specifically.
It's now the power place because there is a power glove hanging inside of it.
Nice.
Yes.
There's no 8-bit tunes happening on the Jason Isbell.
I know, right?
So it's probably not relevant.
Maybe there are 8-bit Jason Isbell covers somewhere. You know, there's got to be.
That would be pretty wild.
Very true. So how often do you listen to this?
I would say it's probably my go-to. My car that I have out here is a 97 Honda CRV with only the radio. It does not have a tape deck. It does not have one of those jacks where you can like plug your iPod in. It has nothing. So my time in the car is spent listening to the radio, which is what it is. But whenever I just have music on in the background, I'd say this is probably my go-to unless... I'm like trying to get myself pumped up or something like that, but it's you can have it on the background and it's not too distracting, but I know it's there. And sometimes I put it on at work just to have it like ever so quietly in the background. I don't get like stats from Spotify that say how much I'm listening to something, but
oh, that's Spotify.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't use. One day, maybe I'll give in, but I doubt it. I'm trying to.
It's free.
I know.
It doesn't cost anything.
I'm just lazy. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just so lazy. I need, you know, I get shit for that all the time. One day, we'll see. So now I'm going to ask you to do something interesting. I usually ask people to like sell, like how would you sell someone on this album? But I feel like this is something that would kind of be easily accessible to anyone like around our age, you know, or just people who've lived, you know, a real life, you know, just gone through certain experiences. But bringing it back to what we were talking about earlier... Yep. How would you sell this to, like, you know, the 20 or like the younger kids who are still mostly focused on, you know, the other shit? Not saying it's shit, but you know, the other stuff.
Yeah. Gosh, I feel like
who would think this is like grandpa music or something? You know.
Well, I was gonna say I feel like this album is also almost like, I don't know, your dad telling you, if I knew now, or if I knew then, what I know now, kind of thing. I don't know that I do a very good job selling it to to 20-somethings, except, I don't know, maybe if someone was going through heartbreak, and as an alternative to, I don't even know what kids listen to these days. I was just thinking about if I was in college, like maybe like Dashboard Confessional or something like that. That it's definitely not like whiny or, I don't know, emo music. With my air quotes that you can't see.
I was picturing them in my head though. I was like, there's got to be air quotes with that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd probably do a pretty bad job of selling it to 20-somethings. And I think probably whoever's marketing this thing is too, because there's no one who is 20 years old at a Jason Isbell show. It's all like, there's like some older dudes, like people I think that were introduced to him when they were following the Drive-By Truckers, because he was like 21 when he joined that band, I think. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of their fans are a little bit older and like continue to follow him. There aren't that many girls at the shows, which is kind of surprising to me, because I feel like, I don't know, not that he's like dreamy or anything like that, but that like, well, I'm kind of surprised that there aren't more like girls there.
Hmm. Interesting.
But I'm reminded of a time that a guy wasn't like taking requests or anything like that, but a guy was yelling Freebird obnoxiously like people do. And he was like, what was that? You want more reverb? Reverb? Huh, I think this is all the reverb that I can take. He's like, why don't you finish drinking that glass of beer you got right there? Hold that glass, that empty glass, up to your ear, and then plug your other one, and there will be your reverb or something like that. Or better yet, hold it up to your mouth if you're going to be yelling Freebird again. I don't know. It was pretty funny. I'm not doing the joke justice, but it was pretty good. And I'm trying to think of some other things. I don't know. It's like even if you went to, you know, four shows on the same tour, it's always going to be a little bit different. I mean, he does play some older songs, like, I don't know, probably two of the more popular Drive-By Trucker songs, or ones that he wrote, Outfit and Decoration Day. Both of those songs are awesome in their own right, so he does play those live too. Sometimes he'll throw in like a cover, but admittedly it's always like a cover that I have no idea what it is, but all the old men are like, yeah. So it's a 20-year-old Katie's dropping the ball there too. But
you know, yeah. I find interesting, like, this is somewhat unrelated, or basically completely unrelated, is that an interesting way I find is like that I see music getting spread in ways that you wouldn't think it is, like, Spotify and all that stuff helps, but Tumblr is like this interesting thing that, like, it's just like, you know, like you post a song with like lyrics and like, you know, you throw in like a tag, like I'm feeling this, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's amazing how like a song will spread, you know, like even if someone's not necessarily a fan of that band, it's just like, oh wow, this song is amazing, and it speaks to what I'm feeling right now. Because, you know, like, especially on a site like Tumblr, it's so easy to like post to it, so people are always talking about, you know, like how their feelings or their angst about stuff. And I feel, I don't know why that just popped in my head. I don't know where I'm going with that, but yeah,
that's how we're gonna get the 20-year-olds to the Jason Isbell show.
There we go.
Tumblr.
Yes.
Tumblr. You've cracked the code.
Tumblr everywhere. His marketing team just set up a Tumblr account and just right? Put all your songs. You can only put one MP3 per day.
Okay, but, good to know. Yeah.
You know, you just
spread
it out.
He's got a fairly deep catalog, but
yeah, you can just spread it out. You know.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna do it.
Exactly. So now I'm gonna hit you with the other question, which you already knew what was coming because you listened to a few of these. You were telling me.
There's that bus.
Yeah. Okay. Right? You heard it, right? All right. Cool. Yeah. I was curious. Is it super loud on your end?
No. I just know you said something about it earlier. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. The bus is pretty frequent at night, so I was kind of worried about that. So you know, we usually close off. Why do I always say we usually? We always close off.
Always.
Always close the episode with a song of the guest choosing. could either be a favorite song, a song you feel encapsulates, you know, the sound of the album, or just a song you think people will enjoy. You know, whatever song you want to do, it's boom, you just go with it.
All right. Gosh, I don't even know, like, what the general consensus as far as most popular song would be on the record, and not that that affects my decision, but I think I'm going to go with Stockholm, which is track two. It's kind of the follow-up track to Traveling Alone, which is track three, so it's almost like you want to play the record in reverse order there, but in Traveling Alone, he's doing just that, traveling alone with someone to share it with, and then in Stockholm it's the part where he's like, I've found someone to share this with, and I don't know, I think the song's like really hopeful and it makes me smile, so I'm gonna go with that one.
I like that. So any closing words on this album, Katie Brown?
Ooh, closing words. Gosh, I don't know.
Or just anything you'd like to add, you know?
I'm still thinking about how he rhymes words with benzodiazepine. That's one thing that really sticks with me. I don't know. It's definitely worth listening to the album a few times and really listening to the words.
Yeah.
How about that?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, I was listening to it at work, so I was catching certain lyrics, and I was like, oh, that's really good, but I probably need to give it, like, a full listen where it has my full attention and not me, like, looking at all these, you know, pictures of, you know, jets and space stuff.
I was picturing you scrolling through Tumblr, actually, while you were...
That too. You know, when I'm afforded the time, I will dabble on the old Tumblr. Well, Katie Brown, I want to thank you for joining me on the show.
Thanks for bearing with me as I took a really long time to decide what I wanted to do.
No problem. Now you.
And thanks for bearing with me as it took me 45 minutes to figure out how to get Skype to load also.
It's all
I appreciate
good.
That.
It's all good. And now you've been on both of my podcasts, which is crazy. You did it.
I should have done Explosions in the Sky to just tie it all together, but
there you go.
Maybe in the future for your second favorite album.
Yes.
Or something like that.
The other podcast is called The Other Album I Was Thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm going to call it. It's going to air like the day after your favorite album. It's going to be
You could totally do it, because everyone's got all their honorable mentions that they could probably talk about for an hour or two.
That's true. I mean, there's so many ideas I want to, like, I've been thinking about with this whole show that I need to, you know, start fleshing out soon. But, you know, that's for another day. Or that's for when we're not recording. I can fill you in on some of
Absolutely.
That I want to thank you for being on. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. As a reminder, we're all over the internet. We're on the web. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And probably some other stuff. XML files, you know, blah, 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 feeds, whatever. Hopefully you'll come back next week when we'll be talking to someone else about another album. That's all I got. We're going to leave you with Stockholm by Jason Isbell. Am I saying his name right? Isbell? Or is it
Isbell? Isbell. It's kind of, if you have to imagine that you're in North Alabama.
Okay.
And how that might affect it.
It's like how I say Florida and orange.
Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And
yeah.
Mario.
Oh, no. No, not Mario.
I say Mario.
Oh, but even on
Mario.
Wait,
do I say Mario or now I'm confused. Super Mario. I say Mario. Yeah. There we go.
Okay, so you say it right.
See, people mock me for that. And then I have a cousin named Mario and I was like, "Yo, how do you say your name?"
Well, that's cuz you're in New York and everyone there is all Italian.
Yeah, probably.
Right? No.
Probably. So, Isbell.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do this again. We're going to leave with... No, I'm not going to edit out that out. I'm just going to...
Oh, okay, good.
Everyone can hear me fuck up. It's okay. We're going to leave you guys with Stockholm by Jason Isbell off the album Oh, God. Southeastern.
Yep.
I like her for a second. I was like, I'm going to say this wrong, too. Well, yeah, that's all we got. So have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Surely have called off the search and gone back.